but have eternal life. If we genuinely believe in him, receive him into our lives as our master and savior, then we have eternal life. But what he's pointing to here is eternal life with him. Because you see, all created humans, not that there's any other kind of human, we all have eternity before us. The question is, where will we spend it? Where will we spend it? He goes on and he says, for God the Father did not send God the Son into the world to condemn the world, you and me. He didn't come here to condemn Maria. He didn't come here to condemn Gary. Believe it or not, he didn't even come here to condemn me. But in order that you, the world, might be saved through him, not through Muhammad, not through Gautama Buddha, not through anyone else, for no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, his Son. To all who believe in him, he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in him, to those who receive him. Now, this is not the only intent of Christmas. At least I'd like to suggest it isn't. As you look at your notes, the intent of Christmas is a time to celebrate that God is with you. Not only does he love you with this unconditional, remarkable love, he is with you. But far too many who attend church and far too many who profess Christ, they haven't yet come to that point to where they have truly embraced him and see that and see him with them all the time. You've probably noticed that Christmas is not always a time where people are filled with joy and cheer and happiness. This may be the first year that they will have a Christmas without their spouse. It may be their first year that they're going to be missing a beloved loved one in the family. They might have lost their job recently, and they're really wondering about how they're going to pay their bills during this time of the year. Others are walking very carefully with their doctors right now through a very tense medical issue. Others, they have sons and daughters who are away at this time of year. They're in the military. They might even be deployed to a war zone. Others have their best friend that have moved out of state to take that position because they've been unemployed. But they're going to be gone now. Or others have moved out of state because they can't live here anymore and it's time to retire. People are missed for whatever reason at this time of year, and there is sadness in the lives of many. The fact is this, if you look at your notes, at the moment, you may not feel like God is with you. If you are a follower of Jesus, his presence has nothing to do with your feelings. His presence has nothing to do with your feelings. You may feel he's on the other side of the universe. Let me explain. Often what we feel is unreliable. Because there will be times when what we feel is not correct, nor is it wrong. It's simply a feeling. It's a feeling. One's emotional state can be the result of fear. They're afraid for one reason or another. Their emotional state can be because they find themselves with deep questions about life. And they find themselves fearful. Other people find their emotional state can be dictated for the fact that they have a lack of sleep or medication that they're taking. Others' emotional state is the result of memories that pop into their mind, and they're not happy memories. And then, really, you know, our emotional state can be dictated by the fact that we had bad pizza. As you look at your note, I put it in there, a friend of mine, a pastor I know once said, quote, whenever I start to feel anxious about a situation, I remind myself that fear, and then he gave me this acrostic, is often false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. God the Son, our Lord Jesus, came to earth in human form to remind us that he's always with us. He's always with us, even if you don't feel it. None the more, it is a fact. He is with us. I want you to read with feeling this next passage of scripture that David wrote for us in Psalm 139, verse 7. You ready? Let's read this aloud. With feeling, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? David's saying, there's no place I can go. There's no place I can go that you aren't there. The fact is this, believer, if there's anyone here who is a non-believer at this point, believer or non-believer, we can never be away from his presence because he is omnipresent. He's not only omnipotent and omniscient, he is omnipresent. He is always present where you are because he is everywhere. How do I wrap my mind around that? Don't try, finite person. He is infinite. He is God. The fact is, believers have additional promises. If you're a non-believer, you don't have these promises. Believers have other promises. We see in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 and verse 20, the second part of that verse. Let's read it aloud together, shall we? And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, I've emphasized the word you. And you know, it's my custom where I see the word you to oftentimes put my name in there. And I encourage you to do the same. And behold, I am with Stan and Bobby to the end of eternity. In Hebrews 13:5, let's read this aloud together. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Now, I'm sorry. Didn't really mean to hit you at this time of year with that particular verse. Sure I didn't. Let's continue reading. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So Francis, he's saying to us, I will never leave you, my friend. I am with you always to the end of the age. This finding an apartment is going to take place. He's telling us, Bob, Barbara, I'm with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to hang in here with you. as you go through this challenge. But as believers, you and I need to focus on His being present. Being present. As you've heard me say time and again, and I'll probably say it till the Lord calls me home, because Christians don't seem to do this all that often. Get up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Lord." When I got up this morning, I'd been with a bunch of people last night that kept me up late. So I lost sleep. So when I said my good morning to the Lord, He knew I meant, "I'm glad You've saved my soul. I'm glad You are my Lord. I'm glad You've put up with me this long." Not that it happens to be the hour that it is, and I'm very tired. He gives me a break on that. But we need to practice His presence. The loving Holy Spirit living within us, we need to not take Him for granted. You know, when we get all upset at something, and those really select nasty words come out of our mouths, or they're being thought up here, He's right there. He's right there. And it's kind of like a big ouch to where we're grieving Him. "What is the matter with you, Ron?" "I'm right here." "I know, Lord. Please forgive me." "I'll forgive you. But come on. You put your hand in mine. Let's do this better." "Gotcha. I'm listening to you." We need to read the Word and allow Him to inspire us and to give us encouragement. And I know when I read the Word, there's hope that is placed back in my heart and optimism about various things. As the staff knows, as you go through crises that I become aware of, it really weighs on me. And I can't do anything about them. I can talk to Him on your behalf, but I just can't come in and push a button on your foreheads and make it all go away and that kind of thing. Try to go back and remember our last studies when we've encountered the Holy Spirit and what He has asked us to do, such as don't be intoxicated with other things, but be intoxicated with me, you and me together. Give yourself to Him. You can see there 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let's read this aloud together. And read it with anticipation here, because it's a wonderful statement from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to you and me this morning, okay? Let's read it together. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Now, this is one of those replace the you's with your name. "Do you not know, Ron, that you, Ron, are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in the likes of you?" Thank you so much. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 6:19, let's read this together. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own." I'm not my own. Well, whose am I? Well, I belong to God, and I've become a temple. And I need to take better care of this temple. Don't remind me of this on Tuesday, Annette. She's going to bring in veggies and all these kinds of things to me. But that's the truth. We don't have the temple anymore in Jerusalem. The Holy of Holies is here. When people refer to this wonderful room that we've been provided, it is a worship center. It is not a sanctuary. Here is the sanctuary and each of you who are his. He has come to live here. He's not in a room over on the Temple Mount. All of that changed with the coming of our Lord Jesus. That's part and parcel of his birth, the reason for his birth. You know, sometimes babies are given middle names. Sometimes they're given more than one middle name. Oftentimes the middle name is given to honor someone in the family. Other times they're to honor a first responder who helped deliver their baby in a car before they were able to get to the hospital. My firstborn, Mindy, her legal name is Melinda Louise, now Bechet. But her middle name's Louise. She received that beautiful name from my beautiful wife, Catherine Louise. And Kathy received that from her mother, Georgia Louise. There is history with that wonderful name. There is meaning that comes down through the family, through that name that has been given. My son, the poor guy, pray for him. I gave him William Ronald Seidel, but he's a junior, you know. Got to pray for the poor guy, being given that name. Please pray for the other person who is so mean in our midst this morning towards me. We won't mention his name, just as initials, Eric Poirier. So, our Heavenly Father, looking at your notes, instructed that Jesus be given several names, to explain his intent for coming to earth. One of Jesus' names we were singing about this morning, his name is Emmanuel, and you know what it means, God with us. Isaiah 7:14, the prophet, he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then 750 years later, the Holy Spirit speaking through Matthew, the apostle, in chapter 1, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God is with us, family. He is with us. And a few of us don't know that and get to enjoy it. My observation here is, it is no wonder the angel told the shepherds on a hill in Bethlehem, do not be afraid, or fear not, in Luke 2:10. Why? You lose your fear when Abba is near. You lose your fear when Abba is near. Abba's presence surpasses our panic. Now, I've shared this with you, and again, I'm beckoning from you, the church family. Testimonies like this. If you don't want to come up and share 3 minutes on the subject, I'll read it, but you got to write it out. Because I want more testimonies about things like this. Because I can only go to so many of them in my own life. For 3 years in my recuperation from being a police officer and damaged goods because of on the job. Abba was near for 3 years. I'm not working. Kathy doesn't have a job. She's a stay-at-home mom. I worked overtime. I can't work. For 3 years, I can't work. But where Abba is, there's really no fear. He took care of us through the whole ordeal. Was I ever going to be able to walk or run again? Was I ever going to be able to go back to work again? Lots of fears. Say this aloud with me. You lose your fear when Abba is near. You lose your fear when Abba is near. Again, you lose your fear when Abba is near. Now tell the people around you that. Look, you may have been abandoned by your spouse. You may have been abandoned by your parents. You who are parents, you may find yourself in a position where you've been written off by your kids. You may be one of those who trusted someone for a long time, only to find out that the person you thought was a friend wasn't a friend. Everyone has faced the pain of heartache and rejection in some way. You may have experienced the deep wound of racial or ethnic intolerance. Maybe you face the deep wound of gender bigotry. Or you've come across those that have rejected you because of religious intolerance. All I can say is I'm honestly very sorry for any of you who have had to go through any of those things or other things like them. But our Heavenly Father has not abandoned you. He has not. He never will. Look back at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 there. He says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Is God a liar? No. Of course not. Of course not. He is God. Let go of the negative feelings that you've received, but receive back into your own heart and your mind the positive words from your Savior that are encouraging and optimistic and hopeful. As you look at your notes, one of our Heavenly Father's sweet promises found here in His breath, the Word of God. It comes from the prophet Isaiah. And he says in verse 43, verse 2, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. I'd like to be saying that directly to Carolina this morning. When you go through the deep waters, Carolina, God will be with you. You can count on it. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And I wish Diana could be here this morning. But when she listens to this on the internet, Diana, you will go through these rivers. You won't drown. You won't drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, Francis, when you go through this with Scott, you will not be burned. You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. And so it is with each of you who are His children. And right now, going through, getting ready to go through some sort of enormous challenge. Folks, I love you. I even wrote it down. And I'm aware of some of your difficulties. But not all of you have confided in me as to your struggles, you feel like you're drowning in right now, or where the heat is on in your life. But I do know this, whatever it is, Abba Father knows it and cares. He cares about it. He not only cares, he understands it and is going through it with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. But you'll never stop feeling like you are alone until you enter into an intimate relationship with him. Through setting aside that time every day, Kathy and I would not have made it these 49 years together if we didn't spend time with one another every day. We wouldn't have a strong marriage today if we didn't spend time with one another. We can't expect to have a great relationship with Abba if we don't spend time with him. Does that make sense? I'd like you to look at a couple of photographs that they're going to show you. You've probably heard of the Ten Boone family. Betsy, she's a phenomenal woman. We know so much about Corey, but not so much about Betsy. Betsy is they're both with the Lord Jesus now. But Betsy, while she was here on earth, she was a tremendous woman of God. She and Corey and their whole family during World War II were hiding from the Nazis, Jewish people, taking care of Jewish people, helping Jewish people get out of Nazi-occupied Holland. And they were successful for quite some time until someone ratted on them, one of Satan's own. They were arrested. The girls went to a Nazi prison camp, Ravensbrück, where tens upon thousands of people perished for various reasons, malnutrition, shot to death, diseases. But Betsy, seeing in her sister Corey, who we know so much more about, she looked into her sister's eyes one particular day. And bear in mind, Betsy is dying. And she said the following there that you see in your notes. Betsy Ten Boone said to Corey, her sister, while incarcerated in a Nazi concentration camp, Ravensbrück, "We must tell people there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still." That Jesus is not deeper still. You see, when we come into the challenges during that 3 years of pain and recuperation for me and my family, Jesus never left us. He never forsaked us. We never went without a meal. We were always able to pay the utilities. Our home was never taken away from us. We must tell people that there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. Family, you're not alone. Abba Father loves you. He demonstrated his love for you as a parent by giving his son as a sacrifice for your sinfulness and mine. And Jesus demonstrated that same wonderful unconditional love for us by going to the cross and suffering the penalty, the wrath of God that you and I deserve. Jesus has not abandoned us. He told us in John's gospel, did he not? I will send you the Paraclete. I will send him alongside you, the Holy Spirit. He will live within you. God loves us, and he is with us always. It's his promise. Get it? Good. Let's pray. And before I pray, I remind anyone who would like prayer that during this last musical song we sing to Jesus, just come to the front and I'll be happy to pray with you. Abba, thank you again for the way you demonstrate your love for us. Had you not sent your Son into the world, we would find ourselves in Hades or Sheol or hell or on our way there. But you are so gracious, so very merciful to us. We don't deserve your love, but nonetheless, you love us thoroughly. And you have very supernaturally given us that same love that you love us with. You poured it out in our own hearts that we might be people that you use to come along other people that don't feel loved. And to love on them, to put our arms around them and let them know that we're there for them, to give them a big hug and pray for them. My Lord, I pray that you will be the object of our Christmas celebration. I pray your Son will be lifted up in every GHCC home that is legitimately given over to you. And we will tell all those who enter our homes about the real intent of Christmas. Your great love. Your presence with us always. And yet you have even more to share with us next Sunday. Part 3 of your intent. So my Lord, really grab hold of those in this church family who have yet to enjoy you, that have remained in that infant state that Jesus came in, that have yet to grow up spiritually speaking. Please, may this entire church family be growing spiritually. May we continue to grow numerically, my Lord, being able to reach out to those who don't know you, being able to answer the questions the best we can by your grace, and to tell them about that faith that brings one into your forever family. So, Father, we're looking forward to Christmas. Celebrating the real Christmas. And we thank you that we can do that through your Son, Jesus. Amen.